From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Joshua as he brings the next portion of a message entitled Godly Dedication. The text is chapter 22, verses 1 through 8, in which Joshua addresses the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Having fulfilled their promise to fight alongside the other tribes in the conquest of Canaan, these tribes were returning to their own lands on the east side of the Jordan. As they prepared to depart, Joshua encouraged them to remain faithful to the Lord. From this narrative, Dr. Cairns is seeking to provide a pattern for individual Christians as well as for the church at large. We've seen that the character of godly dedication is marked by a hearty obedience to the will of God. Then it involves fighting the Lord's battles. These battles are fought on many fronts, but the first and perhaps the most crucial battle is against self. The fight also involves battling whatever would keep us from going on with God, as well as defending against doctrinal error and moral impurity. Another aspect of the battle is evangelism, leading others to enjoy what we have in Christ. In addition, we are to strive to maintain the unity of the brethren. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. Today's text is found in Psalm 91 and verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. God delivers his people from the snare of the fowler in two senses, from and out of. First, he delivers them from the snare, does not let them enter it. And secondly, if they should be caught therein, he delivers them out of it. The first promise is the most precious to some, the second is the best to others. He shall deliver thee from the snare. How? Trouble is often the means whereby God delivers us. God knows that our backsliding will soon end in our destruction, and he in mercy sends the rod. We say, Lord, why is this? Not knowing that our trouble has been the means of delivering us from far greater evil. Many have been thus saved from ruin by their sorrows and their crosses. These have frightened the birds from the net. At other times, God keeps his people from the snare of the fowler by giving them great spiritual strength, so that when they are tempted to do evil, they say, How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? But what a blessed thing it is that if the believer shall, in an evil hour, come into the net, yet God will bring him out of it. O backslider, be cast down, but do not despair. Wanderer though thou hast been, hear what thy Redeemer saith. Return, O backsliding children, I will have mercy upon you. But you say you cannot return, for you are a captive. Then listen to the promise. Surely he shall deliver thee out of the snare of the fowler. Thou shalt yet be brought out of all evil into which thou hast fallen. And though thou shalt never cease to repent of thy ways, yet he that hath loved thee will not cast thee away. He will receive thee, and give thee joy and gladness, that the bones which he has broken may rejoice. No bird of paradise shall die in the fowler's net.
Patiently the cross.
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost, but down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
The first battle that the Christian has to fight is right in himself. You've got to fight a battle in your own heart. You've got to fight the battle in your own mind. You've got to fight the battle in your own life. The man who cannot win the battle in his own life, in his own thoughts, with his own affections, with his own words, the man who cannot win the battle over his own feelings, is a man who is unlikely to succeed in any other kind of spiritual warfare. He will be like a city whose walls have been breached. It's the picture that Solomon paints. The man who can't keep his own spirit. The man who cannot win the battle spiritually in his own life is certainly wide open to every other attack of the devil and will be rendered largely useless. I have known men of great talent, and yet they wrecked what appeared to be a life of usefulness in the ministry of the gospel and the service of God. Why? Because they had no power of personal victory. This is where it's got to start. It's the battle against sin, inbred sin. It's the battle of sanctification. That's where the good fight of faith commences, in personal holiness unto the Lord. Then, of course, there is the battle that is a little more external. It is the battle against everything that would keep God's people, ourselves included, from possessing our possessions. Now that is the ability to identify that which is not of God, that which is an enemy. Now there are some enemies that you can clearly see, but there are some enemies that come as friends. There are some enemies that appear to be benign. The man who is going to be of use to God must be capable, using the Word of God, to identify what is antagonistic to his going on with God and to confront that thing and overcome it. There's nothing worse than embracing an enemy and thinking he's a friend. We have all, from our school days, heard the story of the Trojan horse, allowing in that which appears to be benign, only to find that it is a deadly enemy. God's people must fight everything that stops them or others possessing their possessions in Jesus Christ. And then, of course, there is the spiritual warfare for doctrinal and moral purity. In other words, there is the fight against apostasy in the one hand and what generally is termed humanism, secularism, on the other hand. These are the external forces, and we are called to fight. Now, dedication to the Lord demands that we take part in that. That's not a battle you can opt out of. The Lord says, as he said to the 2.5 tribes, be sure if you fail to take your place in this battle, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. The third element in this true dedication to God is, according to verse 3, leading others to enjoy what we have already gained in Christ. Notice the idea here in verse 3 and into verse 4 that they have stayed with their brethren until the Lord gave them rest, as he had already given possession unto the 2.5 tribes. I want you to get that picture in mind, because that is a vital part of true godly dedication. First, let's understand this, that the man who is going to be of use to God is a man who knows what it is to lay hold on the possession purchased by Christ. And then to lead others into it. Very often what happens nowadays is that preachers and witnesses for Christ are telling people no more than theories that they have read in some book or they have heard from some other preacher. Whereas there is a crying and urgent need that we would say, I have this possession. I know what it is to see the enemy dispossessed. I know what it is to see what God has given us in Christ. And I want to lead others into it. That leading others into it takes the form of evangelism among the unconverted and edification among the converted. There are the two prongs, if I could use that word, the two prongs of our Christian witness as we dedicate ourselves to God, evangelism and edification. How can you evangelize except in the enjoyment of what you personally have experienced in Christ? How can you encourage God's people to go on with God and by faith to enter into the fullness of Christ? Unless you yourself are enjoying that. But if you would have true godly dedication, you must first experience this and then give yourself to its spread. Sometimes it is a great temptation for Christians just to sit back and say, well, how much God has done for me. I want to enjoy this. Now, don't bother me. But that's backsliding. And the great thing is, if you take that line, you will soon cease to enjoy what Christ has fully and freely provided for you in Himself. For backsliding is a miserable thing. It's a wretched thing. You see, a Christian must go on with God. He must have godly dedication. And to enjoy that dedication and experience that going on with God, he must be involved in outreach. He must evangelize. He must give out what God has given to him. You can't be always taking in, taking in, taking in, and never giving out. Some time ago, and speaking in this line, I used the well-known illustration of the Dead Sea, and I know that the Lord spoke to many even through that illustration. But we need to keep it in mind. There are far too many Christians who want to be like the Dead Sea, where everything flows in but it doesn't get out. There's no outflow at all. And you will have a dead life if you're trying to have an inflow, come to church and get into the Bible and seek to have God give, 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 keep on giving to you, but you're not putting it out. You must take what you have in Christ, what you've experienced of grace, and you must use it to reach others, to lead them into that experience. Evangelism is vital to the health of the church and of the individual Christian. And of course, the encouragement of other Christians. What a vital part of dedication to God that is. You remember the illustration of Barnabas, the son of consolation? He was a good man. Not very many people of whom that is said, but the Holy Ghost tells us that. He was a good man. And what is the great mark of his goodness? He was the son of consolation. He was the great encourager. Barnabas was not a Boanerges. Barnabas was not some thunderous opponent of the people of God, always nitpicking, always ready to trip them up, always ready to find fault. He was the man who could see their faults, undoubtedly, but he would bring Christ to them. He would bring the grace of God to them. He was a man. This is what I like about Barnabas, perhaps more than anything else. He was a man who always loved to see the slightest trace of the grace of God in another man's life and ministry. And he encouraged it and he nurtured it using what he had of Christ and what his experience was of Christ to lead others on with the Savior. That's a vital part of godly dedication. A fourth element in this godly dedication is maintaining the unity of the brethren. Notice again, verse 3, you have not left your brethren these many days unto this day. The unity of the brethren. Moses had warned these 2.5 tribes of the discouragement and defeat they would cause to Israel if they deserted their brethren. You know, that's always the case. Christians divide from others of God's people far too easily. Here in America particularly, we have a plague, an absolute plague of the wickedness and the selfishness that will let Christians drift in and drift out of the fellowship of God's people in this church or another church here and there for no apparent reason whatsoever. The level of loyalty among many, many Christians is as near to absolute zero as you can possibly get. What a curse it is. What a discouragement, how weakening to the body of Christ and to those who are seeking to war a good warfare. While Israel fought together, her armies could never be defeated. How good and how pleasant it is, the Holy Ghost says, for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, we must not allow the false unity of the ecumenical movement, the false unity of apostates, to blind us to the need for true believers to stand together. We must, as much as possible, even recognizing denominational differences and all the rest of it, we must as much as possible establish the broadest possible communion among the people of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.